Good morning. Yeah. I was getting there. Good morning. It's good to be with you again today. It's good to have visitors here. We've got a few visitors this morning. Glad to see all of you. Hope that you will stay around long enough to meet a few people so that we can get to know you a little better. And if you're looking for a church home, we want you to make this one yours. Come and be a part of this. This is a great place. This is a great opportunity for you to grow in your love for Jesus Christ, for you to grow as Christians, for you to grow in your walk with God the Father. This is the place to be, and I'm so glad of that. Randy stopped me this morning. He said, well, he said, week before last, he said, you got mad at somebody who cut you off in traffic. He said, last week you got mad at your dogs. He said, what'd you get mad about this week? And I said, well, I don't think I really got mad at anything this week, but I will tell you this. You know, I had told y'all last week that I would not be coming over to help plant. Yes, my wife pulled the wife card. And she said, well, I guess I'll go over there and do it myself. So guess what I did yesterday?
That's not how I heard.
That's exactly true. I said, I'm going. If you want to go, come on.
Yeah, well, I was being nicer than what you were. Did y'all hear that? She said, I'm going. If you want to come, come on. You know, that thing. Yeah, I was trying to be nicer than that, but that's okay. My wife is telling on herself this morning.
So
I missed her. Yeah, I missed her. She was gone all day. I missed her. I had to be with her, all this stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a marriage thing, okay?
Amen.
It's a marriage thing. I'm 38 years of marriage. You know, you got to kind of do those things and whatnot. But anyway, we planted the first three rows out there, so y'all can't have those first three rows. Better take them. And then there are several rows left. There are several rows left.
We'll be out there in the morning.
Now, I am really actually very thankful that we're doing that out there. And the reason why I'm so thankful is because Kathy has made me do all the tilling and everything myself in the past, because we always had gardens in our backyard. And this year I'm not having to do that. And so I'm glad of that, because it was tilled for us, and therefore all I had to do was just take a little hoe and cut the lines and then drop the seeds and then cover it over. So it wasn't bad at all. And we were only going to do two rows, and I saw it was so easy. I said, well, let's go ahead and do a third row. So we did a third row. So anyway, it's not difficult, and we encourage all of you to take part. It's a great work for us. It's a community garden. Anybody can come out there and pick and eat from that garden. And so go out there. I think they're getting together Monday and Tuesday. Monday and Tuesday morning to kind of avoid the rain. But if you would like to come out and plant some green beans or black-eyed peas or something like that, come on. Because you can't have enough green beans and black-eyed peas, I don't think. So go out and do that for our community. Like I said, it's great work, great opportunity for you just to give back to your community just a little bit. Just a little bit. So today I'm going to be talking about our prodigal sons. Notice how I put that. Our prodigal sons. Okay? Now one of the things that's been very interesting to me, you know, I haven't been here very long. I've only been here since July of last year, so I haven't even been here a year yet. But one of the things that's been interesting to me is that I've noticed within this congregation, we are growing. Number 218 was up on the board last week. We had 218 people. Our first Sunday that we were here, there was 167. So we are growing. We are doing well. We're doing a lot of Bible classes now. And the numbers of people that are showing up to our Bible classes are pretty impressive. You know, we're having over 100 on Sunday nights. We're having over 100 on Wednesday nights. We're having 14 or 15 on Tuesday nights. So people are wanting to learn more about God. And I'm proud of that for you, because that's a very positive thing. We started that Christianity 101 class, and why we started that was because we had so many new baptisms over this last 3 or 4 months.
Amen.
We've had 18 since the 1st of February.
Amen.
Folks, that's great.
Amen.
That's great news. That's showing that we are moving in the right direction. We are doing the right things. We are seeking to serve God the Father. And this is something that we should continue to do all year long, is seek to do the work of our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Every day. Every day. But I want you to understand this, that this lesson is kind of interesting in that I want you to think of it in a different perspective. You know, we always talk about the prodigal son. You know, he goes to his daddy and he says, "Give me all that you owe me." And so he goes and he takes all that his dad can give him and he leaves, and then he squanders it all, and then he ends up feeding pigs. Now realize that this was written to Jews, about Jews, and they thought pigs were the worst, dirtiest animal that could ever exist. So this is the lowest he could possibly be. He's living among the pigs, eating whatever is left over from when the pigs eat. And then my favorite line, y'all know my favorite line, says when he came to what? When he came to his senses. When he figured out that he could go home and his father did better for his servants than what he was getting.
Amen.
And so therefore he says, "I'm going to go back to my father's house and I'm going to ask to be his servant." And so he does that. And so we spend a great deal of time, and you've heard multiple sermons dealing with this son. But I want you to think of it in a different perspective. How many sons were there? There were two sons. There were two sons. And I want you to realize something when I tell you that there were two sons. This is important for us to realize. Jesus's example, his parable of the prodigal son, was not aimed at the prodigal son. It was actually aimed at the second son. Did y'all know that? You do now. Because I just told you. It's actually aimed at the second son. Because in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 2, I want you to see this. It says, "Now all the tax collectors and sinners," all the tax collectors and sinners, tax season is just over. I'm glad. Because I'm getting my wife back more now. And she's making me dig in the garden. But I am glad that I am giving her back more. Tax season has ended. But all the tax collectors and sinners, who were the lowest of the low of the people of that time, were coming near to Jesus to hear him. They wanted to hear his words. And notice what it says in verse 2. The Pharisees and the scribes began to do what? complain, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Now notice this, from the very beginning of this story, Jesus is dividing the people into two groups. The tax collectors and the sinners, and then the Pharisees and the scribes. The prodigal son, and the one who stayed home. You see that? Realize from the beginning, this is being divided into two groups of people. And in looking at this, I want you to see Jesus' response. He doesn't just tell one parable here. He actually tells three parables. The first one deals with this lost sheep. And we know that story about the lost sheep, about the shepherd leaving his 99 to go and find the one that was lost. We know about that story, do we not? Sure. Sure we do. Would we not do the same thing if we had a lost cow or a lost sheep or a lost goat or whatever it may be? Would we not leave the 99 and go find the one that was lost? Let's put it in a more deeper perspective. If you had four children and one of them was lost, would you not leave the other three to go find the lost one? Let's put it in a little deeper perspective. If you had four children, three of them were Christians and one was not, would you not go after the one that was not? Think of it in that perspective. Because that's exactly the perspective that Jesus is putting out here. The one that was lost is the one they went after. Now notice this also. He tells another parable. The parable of the lost coin. And notice what happens is that this woman goes and seeks out this lost coin, and then when she finds it, she rejoices to the point that she asks all of her friends to come over and rejoice with her because she has found that which was lost. Is there rejoicing in heaven when one who is lost is found?
Amen.
Folks, like you would not believe, there is rejoicing. In our Christianity 101 class this morning, we were talking about baptism, and we were talking about being baptized and when you come up out of that water and how you feel and all these different things about that, and how the water was cold at one time. Yeah. How the water was cold, and then when she came up out of that water, she didn't worry about that being cold anymore. How wonderful it is. There is rejoicing in heaven over the one that was lost but now is found. The song Amazing Grace I absolutely love. Do y'all love Amazing Grace? You should love Amazing Grace because it's a great story, and it's even a greater story when you start looking at the person that wrote Amazing Grace. That person that wrote Amazing Grace was an individual who was in the slave trade, who brought people from Africa to England and sold them to be slaves. That's what he did. But then later, he realized the wrong of his doing. And he said, "I've got the blood of 21,000 people on my hands." He said, "I was lost, but now am what?" And when he wrote it, also understand this, that he became blind, and he said, "I was blind, but now I see." Folks, realize When one is lost, but then is found, there is great rejoicing in heaven. Now the third one, of course, is that of the prodigal son. And I'm not going to get into all the story about the prodigal son simply because most of us have heard it 100 times. And most of us know the whole story about the prodigal son. He went to his father, he says, "Give me my inheritance." He leaves and he does all these things. And then he came to his senses. Folks, there are people in this audience today that have been that person. That went out into the world, thought they could do better, but then when they came to their senses, they came back. One of the things that we're told in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, is to raise our children in the ways in which they should go, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. Now that's a very important thing, because one of the things that I've learned over the years in some research that has been given to me and things that I know about in those cases is that we lose a lot of our young people when they go off to college. Brody's going to be here 2 more years. Yay, Brody. Okay. But when they go off to college, we actually end up losing about 85% of our kids. Did y'all know that? 85%. That's a lot. But you know what happens when they get older and they get married and they have children? They come to their senses. Maybe mom and dad wasn't quite as dumb as I thought they were. And they come to their senses and they oftentimes will come back. We will gain back 60% of those young people because they were brought up in the right way. Folks, that's important for all of us. Because all of us, most of us, have young children. I don't anymore. But a lot of us have young children. Bring them up in the way they should go. Because even if they fall away, guess what happens? They usually come back to their senses. And they return. So realize exactly what takes place. Now, one of the things that we want to look at today is how do we reach our prodigals? Okay? These are the ones who have left. These are the ones who have gone on. I understand at one time this congregation had over 260 people that would show up here on Sunday morning. Well, guess what? I want over 300 people. I want 400 people. I want to tear down the walls, build bigger because we can't put everybody in here. I want to keep moving forward. Always. Always keep moving forward. And there are people out there that have turned away from God for whatever reason. There are people out there that no longer come to worship service for whatever reason. COVID scared me because it did exactly what I thought it would do. We started doing things like putting everything online, letting people watch from home. We did it because we had to. But people got used to staying home. People got used to watching it from home. And they don't realize how much they're missing out on by not being here with you. Amen. Staying at home is not the same. If you watch a football game on television, it's not the same as being there. Being there is better. Unless it's raining and cold. Realize exactly what I'm talking about. It's better to be here. It's better to be with other Christians. It's better to be lifted up. I've told you this before, but you walking in this room today lifts me up every single time.
Amen.
And I thank you for it. But how do we reach our prodigals, those who have gone on? Here's how we do it. First off, we need to seek them out. Realize in these stories that Jesus tells, what did he do? He left the 99 to go and find the one. What did she do? She went out to find her lost coin. What did he do, the father, when he saw the son afar off? He ran to him. The first thing that we must do is we must seek those individuals out who are no longer coming for whatever reason. We must seek them out. And as I've told you before, take somebody with you. And as I've told you before, if you don't know who to take, give me a call. I will go. And a lot of these people, and I want you to know, because I'm kind of at a disadvantage with a lot of these people, is that I never met these people. I haven't been here long enough. So it helps me a lot that if you know this person, that you go and you take me and you introduce me to this person. I want them here. God wants them here. Seek them out. Let's grow in number. Let's grow in wisdom. Let's grow in spirit. Let's grow because that is the greatest command that Jesus gave to all of us, his last one, to go therefore into all the world. Folks, that is our command. So the first thing that we must do is we must seek them out. The second thing that we must do is that we must receive them with compassion. Have you ever gone to a place that you really didn't feel welcomed? I want you to know, I've been to some congregations that didn't feel welcomed. I've been to some congregations that nobody spoke to me as a visitor. And I'm hard not to speak to. Because I seek people out to talk to. But realize that there's been places that I've been in my lifetime that they didn't even talk to me. And you know what? I didn't go back. I didn't go back. This statement right here is not to the one that had left, but it was to the one who stayed. He did not receive his brother, but he rather got angry with his father. No. We must receive them with compassion. Thank you for being here. Thank you all for being here. I am so glad to see you. Third, if there were any sins that had been committed from either side, notice how I put that, forgive them all. Who does it hurt to hold a grudge? If I'm holding a grudge against you, guess what? It's hurting me. Because I learned a long time ago, I may be holding a grudge against somebody and they don't even know I exist. Doesn't hurt them. It hurts me. Makes me bitter. Makes me angry. But I want you to see right there in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, verse 15 especially, if you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. That's a big one. Folks, welcome them back with open arms. How did the father welcome his son? With open arms. Killed the fatted calf. They had a good old barbecue. Put rings on his fingers. Because my son who was lost has now been found. My son who was dead is now alive. Rejoicing in heaven. Rejoice in their return. Remember, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. What kind of joy is that? Luke chapter 15, verse 32 says this. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live. Was lost and has been found. Now, folks, I want you to understand this. This sermon is not to the ones who have drifted away. This sermon is for the ones who have always been here. How do we take them back? How do we get them back? How do we bring them back to the rejoicing in heaven? For the one that was lost has now been found. How do we do that? We seek them. We welcome them. We forgive them. And we rejoice with them. For that which is lost is now found. Folks, this lesson is for the second brother. This lesson is for the Pharisees and the scribes. This lesson is for the ones who have always been here. I thank God that you have always been here. But I also thank God for every person that walks in this room. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for the visitors who have come. Thank you for wishing to be part of our worship service this morning. And most of all, thank you for your desire to be with God the Father. If you have a need this morning, a need for our prayers, or a need to be baptized, we want to give you the opportunity to come while together we stand and sing.